Hey, True Seekers, this is Mike Malloy. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Mike Malloy Show, so please don't call in. We'll return live before you can say, Bush crime family. Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Boy, I'll tell you, nothing can get this damn Michael Jackson story off the, off of CNN. I'm looking at it right now. Even hysterical announcement late this afternoon by Sarah Palin that she's out of here. And you got to wonder why. It's a Friday news dump. This is the way you do it when you have something scandalous that's about to happen. You make the announcement. Whether it's a resignation or something about torture or something about, you know, whatever. You do it on a Friday afternoon. And if you're really, really slick, have slick advisors, you do it on a Friday afternoon right before a holiday. So here we are with Sarah Palin announcing today that she was resigning her office as of about 3 weeks from now. She made the announcement this afternoon from her home in Wasilla. The person who's going to take over is Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell. He will take over July 25th. What people are left with, anyone who gives a damn, are left with the question of, you know, why? What is going on? I thought this was a person, this was a right-wing nutcase politician that had ambitions to become the next president, honest to God. But as she made the announcement outside her home, Palin derided what she called the superficial political blood sport that has been aimed at her since she became a household word. I'm trying to think of a way to put it. Since she became a household word, a year ago, I watched some of this on the replay today on MSNBC, and MSNBC right now is running something about prisons, only it's, you know, one of those come on inside San Quentin and play, and CNN is doing Michael Jackson stuff, and I'm just thinking, Jesus, guy, really? Okay. But when she made her remarks today, they were just thoroughly incoherent. I don't know. I sat there and thought, what? What's going on? References to a basketball point guard and fending off the people who are attacking Alaska. Who's attacking Alaska? I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't quite sure who to turn to, so usually in a case like that, I call Brad Friedman, and he's on the phone with us now from L.A. I went to your website today, and you had some stuff up there, Brad. Brad Friedman, of course, who just recently filled in for us for a week. What's going on?
Yeah, I got some stuff.
You got some stuff.
I think, when I talked to you last.
Oh, yeah?
That I can give you now on this.
Okay.
Yeah, I concur. By the way, that press conference of hers was just pretty amazing. It was rambling, scattered, really strange.
Weird. Very weird, yeah.
Yeah, not the sort of thing you referred to slick advisors advising her to do this on a holiday weekend, which
right.
I suppose makes some kind of sense, but I suspect she wasn't talking to any advisors, otherwise they would have told her to write a damn speech instead of that rambling nonsense. Anyway, I've got word from several sources now in Alaska that this resignation comes in advance of what could be federal indictments related to embezzlement in the building of her house, which, as it turns out, according to several multiple independent sources up there, tell me that it featured the same windows, the same wood, the same building materials as the Wasilla Sports Complex that she had built during her tenure as mayor.
Wait a minute. Now, this is the Ted Stevens story all over again.
Yeah.
Is there a shortage of building material in Alaska? I mean, what the hell is going on? Really? Is that what you're hearing, Brad?
Yep.
Oh. my God.
What I'm being told is that during the building of the Wasilla Sports Complex, the builders managed somehow to leave some of the material that was used in the stadium or in the sports complex over at her house. And somehow it made its way into the building of her house. Now, this is no small potatoes, apparently, because, you know, she's gone through a bunch of scandals up there, and she's been able to fend them off. It is said that this is one that she's going to have trouble fending off.
Mm-hmm.
Several of my sources up there were talking about, had she not done this, that when this came out, that they were going to be calling for impeachment. And that federal investigators have been up there looking at this for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And these sources have all been asked to keep it quiet, and they did a pretty good job of it until she preempted them, I suppose, with this bizarre 4th of July Eve announcement.
Do you suppose this announcement is part of some sort of... cooperation, I hate to use the term cooperation, because in a case like this, usually the federal prosecutors apply an awful lot of pressure to a politician. But would this be the result, perhaps, of pressure and response by the prosecutors who say, you know, give up your office and we will drop 40 of the 76 indictments we have against you or something like that?
You know, I suppose that could be the case. I hadn't gotten any information along those lines. And frankly, if that's what it was, doesn't it seem like it would have been a bit more choreographed on her part when she came out with her statement? She apparently told the the lieutenant governor that she would be able to on Wednesday that she was going to be doing this. So she knew about this for several days, and yet didn't bother to prepare a speech. I don't know that it's part of a deal. It doesn't smell to me like it's part of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine they would say, if you resign, we'll drop it down. I suppose that they could. That just seems odd. I don't know what they would drop it to.
Well, if indictments are coming, and let's go with that for a second.
I also don't know that, by the way, that federal investigators would have that, would be able to use that type of leverage. Oh, if you resign from your office, we'll only charge you for this
right.
or that.
All right, let's go for a second with the idea, the possibility of federal indictments coming.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be easier for her to, this is just a question, defend herself as a governor rather than as a private citizen?
I suppose it could be, unless the charges are just so bad that, you know, she can't possibly do it while being governor. I mean, this isn't something that she can hide and say, no, I didn't do it. If they're able to prove,
right,
you know, that the same windows and wood and everything else has been in her house as used in the sports complex, that seems like it'd be a pretty easy thing to be able to tell, then I think she's in big trouble.
Well, in that rambling speech, she made several references, oblique, but references nonetheless, to the blood sport the politics has become. And, you know, she's one who added her 37 cents to make it a blood sport last summer. But that is usually an indication. When a politician starts talking like that, that's usually cover talk. That's like, okay, politics has become this nasty, ugly business, and they're always charging people with things. And next thing you know, they're being charged with something.
Yeah. I mean, when I started getting this information from the folks in Alaska and then went back and looked again at that press conference.
Right.
She sounded like someone who was in trouble.
Mm.
She talked about, what was it, only dead fish go with the flow.
I know.
What the hell was that? So she seems like someone who knows she's up against it.
Boy. Hey, listen, hold on a second,
yeah.
Can you? All right, let me put you on hold. We're talking with Brad Friedman, who this afternoon, his website, bradblog.com, had... This is actually how I heard about the story. It wasn't on television. I got an email alert from his website and went to bradblog.com and like, what? And that's when I went and turned on Tweety Bird's program and saw about 12 minutes of this rambling announcement she had today. We'll talk more with Brad in just a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Put another notch in my lipstick case. You better make sure you put me in.
introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox based on GM compact crossover segment. Excludes other GM vehicles. 21 past the hour. We're talking with Brad Friedman. We're going to go right back to him here in a second because of the news that broke this afternoon. Sarah Palin has resigned, effective 3 weeks from now, her position as governor of Alaska. A lot of speculation as to why, and there seems to be some heavy speculation now, based in reality, that she's resigned because she's facing federal indictments. By the way, we're doing a podcast trivia again tonight. We're going to do giveaway, thanks to our anonymous donor. We're giving away three Malloy subscriptions tonight to the podcast. So the first one will be coming back from the break, the next break that we have. All you have to do is call in, get online. We will ask you a multiple choice question. If you get it right, you win. Right now we're talking with Brad Friedman in Los Angeles. All right. Where were we? Not that I really care that much about Sarah Palin. Frankly, Brad, I was hoping that she would really make a move to get the Democratic nomination 2 years from now, because she's such a clown.
That would be the Republican.
Republican. Pretty much, they're all clowns. But she's the worst clown. She's like an insane clown. She's one of those clowns. If you turn your back when you're watching the Big Top, they might put an axe between your shoulder blades. And I was kind of hoping that she would make a move because she's so easy to satirize. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Look, the 2012 contenders have become the insane clown posse at this point.
They have.
I mean. Yeah, and you're right. I would be sad to not see her run in 212. I would love to see her run. I'm a huge Palin supporter when it comes to running for the nomination in 212.
Right. Well, you know, the field is of Republicans is getting narrower and narrower. I think this is a calculated move that by popular acclaim, the candidate in 2012 is going to be Rush Limbaugh.
I think he's the only one left. But if you think he's going to make it till 2012, my friend.
Oh, something coming up there, too.
No, I have no information. I just can't imagine him sustaining what he has been doing for the last few months. These guys are just in absolute meltdown. And
oh,
I don't
my
even
God.
See. It's incredible when you look at Mitt Romney now as the closest thing to someone who is sane.
Right.
On that side of the aisle. Let me read you this quick quote from her speech today that David Kurtz pulled out over a Talking Points memo. This rambling resignation announcement. She said, "Life is too short to compromise time and resources. It may be tempting and more comfortable to just keep your head down, plod along, and appease those who demand sit down and shut up. But that's the worthless, easy path. That's a quitter's way out."
Right.
And then she quit.
Yeah. I don't know. This is bizarre. I mean, it's going to make for great conversation over the 4th of July weekend. You know, to sit around with people and watch the fireworks go off and drink some ice cold beer and say, "Jesus, what do you think of the Palin thing?" But how reliable are your sources in Alaska regarding the possible legal problems she might be facing?
These are sources who have been right time and time again on Sarah Palin stories over the last, you know, several years since she, or whatever, so over the last year since she ran. They had given me a lot of stuff that I was not comfortable running with during the campaign that turned out to be absolutely on target, absolutely accurate. So, you know, it's a pretty small community up there.
So you have this up on your website now?
I do, although the website went down during the last commercial break, so apparently you got a lot of listeners calling in to check, so hopefully it'll be restored momentarily.
All right, you broke it on your website, but you also broke it on this program, so I just want everybody to know.
That's right.
That was on the Malloy's 25-cent, you know, the 2-bit program. Because that's what it costs per program if people take the podcast, you know. That's where folks heard it first. Well, this is, it's certainly fun news. I hope it turns out, Brad, that there is a huge, smoking forest fire, in this. I really do. I would like to see nothing better, than to see some kind of a weird, convoluted situation for the governor of Alaska. That would be great.
This woman would not do it for no reason, not at a time like this, which, you know, supporters and detractors have both said this makes no sense for her to do it now.
Right,
Something is up.
All right, Brad Friedman, thank you so much, Brad, for checking in, okay?
My pleasure. Take care. All right, sir.
Take care. Take care. Brad Friedman, you can go to his website, bradblog.com. Get this in a more a coherent form, what seems to be the prevalent rumor. And it's all rumors, we understand, but 99% of politics is rumors, isn't it? Huh? So the very clear possibility that Sarah Palin may be facing indictments. Why else would she resign? I don't know. All right, stick around. We have one open line here. The number is 877-996-2556. Get online, and if you get the correct answer to the podcast trivia question coming up when we come back, you win. To about 25 before the hour, and it's time once again for podcast trivia here on the Beloit program. Our winners tonight, because by God, we're going to give away three of these thanks to an anonymous donor. Our winners tonight will receive a 1-year free subscription to Mike Malloy podcasts that come without commercials. I got an email today from somebody who said, well, what about the Chevy thing? And I said, well, that's not a commercial. That's called a billboard. All right, cut the music. It's time once again to play podcast trivia. Let's start with Renee Louise, who has called in from Los Angeles. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
Good. Thanks for all the nice emails.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for reading them.
All right, are you ready to play podcast trivia?
I hope so, yeah. Okay.
All right, now I will give you a question and provide you with four possible answers.
Right.
And if you get the correct answer, you win a 1-year subscription to the Malloy podcast. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you nervous?
Yeah.
All right. Fill in the blanks, plural, in the following Bush quote. I am certain that blank and blank can coexist peacefully. Was it A, Israel and Palestine, B, capitalism and communism, C, Sunnis and Shia, or D, human beings and fish?
Sunnis and Shia.
Say it again.
Sunnis and Shia.
Oh,
I knew it.
No.
It's the first one, isn't it?
I'm so sorry. It's not. It's not Sunnis and Shia. The answer is D, human beings. And fish.
Oh, my. You're kidding. Oh, that figures.
All right. Well, better luck next time.
That's
You can play again.
I know. I know. This is going to be pathetic.
Okay.
I'm call back in.
Yeah. If you get back on tonight, we'll be doing this at the bottom of the next hour and the bottom of the third hour. So if you can get back in, you can do it. Thanks, Renee Louise.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care. All right. We still do not have an answer, so we are going to move on to our next caller, and that would be Raul, who is in Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Hi, Raul.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Are you ready for your big four? Do you have a bird in the background?
No, I think it was my foot squeaking on the floor. Sorry.
Are you ready for fireworks in the City of Angels this weekend?
Absolutely, and especially for the Michael Jackson thing on Tuesday.
Do you have tickets?
No, I don't. No, unfortunately.
Well, I'll tell you what. Watch Craigslist, because I'm sure there'll be lots of them for sale, right?
Yeah, I know.
All right, Raul, are you ready for tonight's podcast trivia question?
As ready as I'm going to be.
All right, now remember, if you win, you get a 1 year, if you get the right answer, you get a 1 year subscription free to the Malloy podcast. If you lose, well, you just lose, all right?
All right. Okay.
You have four possible answers. This is a multiple choice question. You ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. According to Bush, what problem is presented by natural gas as a source of energy? Is it A, it can explode and blow up the barbecue grill? B, we're running out of cows to produce it? C, it can only be transported when you liquefy it and put it in solid form? Or D, Rush Limbaugh owns it all? Which is it?
B. I'm just taking a wild guess.
We're running out of cows to produce it?
Yes.
Oh, Raul! No! Oh, no, the correct answer is C. It can only be transported when you liquefy it and put it in solid form, which is a physical impossibility. But that's our boy, our former boy, George W. Bush. All right.
Well, I'll try next time, I guess.
All right, Raul, thank you. And don't forget, we're going to do it two more times tonight. So if you can get through again, you can take another shot at it. All right. Come on, folks. What's the matter here? I know it's a holiday weekend, and you're just champing at the bit to get out of town, right? All right, let's go to Kyle, who is calling from Detroit. Kyle, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Well, you sound very energetic tonight.
I'm getting ready to walk out the door, but when I heard you guys were going to do this, I'm like, oh, I got to put this on hold for 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, great. Okay, are you... now, let me see. We're not on in a station in Detroit yet, so you listen... Normally, you listen online? Oh, great. Okay, good. Now, if you win, of course, you know what you get. You get a free one-year podcast subscription to the Malloy program. So, are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready.
Okay. Here's your question. What did Bush ask Brazilian President Fernando Cardoso at a March 2001 trade meeting? Was it A, do you like black beans and rice? B, do you dye your hair black? Or C, do you have blacks, too?
I am going to go with A.
A, do you like black beans and rice? No,
oh.
I'm sorry. All right. Well, Kyle, thanks.
It had to be C.
It was C. That was his famous question about the racial makeup of Brazil. And only Bush could ask a question like that. All right, maybe next time, Kyle.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, have fun tonight. Stay safe, okay? All right.
I had no idea these would be that hard.
Well, out of sight, out of mind. You know, Bush is gone, so people are just over him. You understand what I'm saying? All right, are we ready? I think we have Tim, who is also in Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Is that the only station carrying the program tonight? Hey, Tim.
Actually, you came back from horseback riding on KTLK when it first started.
Oh my God! They must have had last night's show in the first couple of minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, probably another one of those mysterious satellite screw ups, and probably from our end. Trust me on that. All right, Tim, you ready to play?
Ready.
All right. Now, why do you want a subscription to the Molloy podcast? Seriously.
Because I love your show.
Oh,
I can't afford it.
Well, of course. You can't afford it?
Uh-uh.
Well, then you're the type of person that should win, right?
Hopefully.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You'll have a question and three possible answers. Here's the question. Complete the following Bush quote. Families is where, A, our nation finds hope, where wings take dream. B, we share our love and put our food. C, we first learn the basics of all learning.
B,
we share our love and put our food. No, I I'm sorry, Tim. The real answer is families is where our nation finds hope, where wings take dream.
Oh, that's right.
You remember it now. All right, Tim, thank you. I appreciate your taking a shot at it. If you want to give it another try, we'll do two more tonight. So you can stick around for that. All right. God, these are really tough, right? Again, out of sight, out of mind. Okay, let's, who do we have next? Gary is calling from New York City. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Mike.
You're listening online because in the greatest liberal city in America, of course, this program is not carried. Go figure.
Right.
But anyway, eventually we'll be there, I'm sure. All right, Gary, you ready?
I am. These are hard.
All right. Complete the following Bush quote. I think we agree, A, Cheney's a cyborg. B, presidenting is hard work. C, Condi has a lot of fancy shoes. Or D, the past is over.
Between B and D, for me, the past is over. I'm going to say D.
D? The past is over?
Right.
Yay! All right, Gary. You win.
Wow.
You, you got it right. All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and Kathy will take the pertinent information to let you know how to get your one-year free podcast to the Molloy Show.
Cool. That's so great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Gary. That's how easy it is, right? Well, that only took 23 minutes. I didn't realize these would be so hard. I guess they are hard, though. When you look at them constantly the way we do here at the Molloy program, it's like, oh, God, these are easy, but I guess not. All right, that was it for this hour. We'll do this again at the bottom of the next hour and at the bottom of the third hour. So come back or stick around, however you want to do that. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. With all the attendant celebrations, I was thinking today, as much as I hate U.S. foreign policy, as much as I am absolutely not satisfied with what the new president is doing on so many levels, how do you celebrate a country that for the past 125 years has been a real imperialist force on the planet? How do you celebrate a country that has caused the death and destruction that the United States has caused? How do you celebrate a country that practices torture, invades other countries unprovoked, and on and on? How do you do that? Well, and I came up with an answer because I don't want to sit tomorrow night, sit where Kathy and Molly and I and some of her friends are going to watch fireworks. I don't want to sit there and be an absolute hypocrite. So I came up with an answer. It's very simple. You celebrate the revolution, which is what the 4th of July is. You celebrate the revolution that the colonists put together against the British. You celebrate the revolution. Let that sink in a second. You celebrate the revolution. You get it? Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 mile per gallon on the highway and up to 600 miles on a tank of gas. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. It's about 10 before the hour. So there's a quote here somebody sent to me. I know who it was, but he or she didn't include just a nice short name or initials. The subject line says, Happy Fourth. Here's a Thomas Jefferson quote. And this is very pertinent. We have mentioned before Jefferson's aversion to corporations and the financial services industry, even way back then. This is what Jefferson said back in the turn of the 18th century to the 19th. He said, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around these institutions will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. Thomas Jefferson. Oh, my God. Peter in Vermont writes regarding July 4th, subject line July 4th, reject unthinking jingoistic patriotism. He writes, Mike, as the July 4th fireworks start early, I'm staying in. I can't celebrate the militarism and pollution, the noise and the carbon from the endless flyovers, the fireworks, etc. Plus, people always look at me as if I'm the turd in the punch bowl when I tell them that I don't get hot for the machinery that is being used to turn children into red mist in Iraq and Afghanistan. Still love this country, not sure why. Peter in Vermont. Yeah, it's like the Leonard Cohen song, or line in his song, I love the country, but I can't stand the scene. Certainly understand that. The big story, of course, occurred this afternoon when it was determined what clothes Michael Jackson would wear when he... No, not that. Can you believe this? We've not talked about it, but I mean, this is really driving me crazy. I made a couple of desperate efforts today to track down some real news. And I shouldn't do this with television. I understand that. You know, I've talked about the idiocy and the futility of doing that so many times on this radio program. But I just didn't feel like logging on and, you know, checking around, flipping through the websites that really have news and information. I flipped on the television. Channel after channel after channel. L.A. is going to be rocked and socked when this thing happens. When is it, next Tuesday? You know it as well as I do. Los Angeles is on the California on the verge of bankruptcy. And L.A., God only knows how much this is going to cost the city of Los Angeles for the extra police protection or police presence, emergency medical services. You know it's going to be a disaster. You know it is. Is the Jackson family contributing any money? I have no idea. I don't think so at this point. I heard something today. They're going to be, what, 15, 20,000 free tickets given away. What about the other 800,000 crazy people that want to attend this? I mean, just one thing. I'm not knocking his music or his cultural impact in the United States or on the globe. Okay. You know, I get that. I really do. I get that. But this endless adoration of a corpse, and don't tell me that's not why they're going there. Don't tell me they're going there to honor Michael Jackson. If you want to honor Michael Jackson, go buy one of his albums, make his estate fatter, or stay home and listen to the goddamn music. I mean, what is this? I've never been able to figure this out. Somebody sent me an email last week and said, well, what did you do when John Lennon died? I said, well, I went to a public park in Atlanta all those years ago, where just spontaneously people gathered. And next thing you know, somebody started a drum circle that got bigger and bigger and bigger until you had about 2,000 people pounding on drums. And it lasted for about 3 hours. People went home. I mean, you know. So is John Lennon less or more of a cultural force than Michael Jackson? And why am I even asking such a dumbass question to begin with? It doesn't matter. I don't get this. I really don't. I don't get what's going to happen in L.A. on Tuesday. But if you live in Los Angeles, good luck. Good luck with, I listened to your chief of police today making it very clear that not only would access to the Staples Center be limited to ticket holders, but they're going to cordon off an enormous section of downtown Los Angeles on a Tuesday. How are people going to go about their normal business? In an economy where everything's going belly up and so many people who don't show up for work are either docked to pay or maybe fired. I mean, what's going to happen with people? And I'm just asking a question. I'm not challenging the idea. But I don't know the setup in L.A. What's going to happen when people want to get to work or want to get home or whatever and can't? You know it's going to be a disaster, don't you? Your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Felix.
Hey, Truth Seekers, this is Mike Malloy. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Mike Malloy Show, so please don't call in. We'll return live before you can say, Bush crime family. Podcast subscription free, thanks to our anonymous donor. And that's at the bottom of the hour. So at that point, if you want to call in and take a shot at winning a free subscription... regarding what's going to happen Tuesday in L.A., a couple of people have written in. What's going to happen Tuesday, Mike? The closest thing to martial law or a police state in Los Angeles? Oh, boy. Who's that from? This is from Tim. From John in L.A., on Tuesday, the city will be in gridlock. It is happening downtown where many freeways converge and where many people work. In addition, a substantial number of bus lines run through downtown, meaning a complete mess of the bus system, which much more than the mess it is always in. One light rail line goes right next to the celebration area. It will be probably a complete meltdown, affecting people many miles from ground zero. I plan to stay home, thereby avoiding all problems. John in L.A. Yeah, I would be very concerned about that. Los Angeles is built for vehicular traffic. It is not a pedestrian friendly city. Certainly, I'm not telling people who live there anything new. But for people in the rest of the world, the rest of the United States anyway, L.A. is not pedestrian friendly. It is built for the automobile. La automobilista. So if you are deprived of your ability to get around, I realize there's mass transit there, but as John pointed out, it's the hub of the mass transit or the central point is near the Staples Center, right? Good luck, y'all. Seriously, not trying to be a smartass here. This is an honest wish for good luck. Because on Saturday, or on Tuesday, it's going to be bad. Again, I got to go back to Sarah Palin resigning. At the beginning of the program tonight, we had Brad Friedman on, who has the website bradblog.com. If you have gone to his website, he pretty much was one of the first out there, if not the first, with this information this afternoon. And now has some information there. It may have been picked up by other sites that there, and I'm rephrasing this. I can't get to Brad's site because the traffic there is too heavy, apparently. But the possibility of indictments against Palin for, and if that's the case, you will hear the vomit just flowing out of the mouths of the right-wingers accusing the Obama administration or Eric Holder, the attorney general. And it won't make any difference if it's state or federal. It won't make any difference. It'll all be Barack Obama's fault, just as the extramarital affairs of the current crop of Republicans is all Barack Obama's fault. What was it? One of these clowns said the other day that because of the Obama economy, if you can believe that, yeah, the Obama economy has put a lot of stress on these white men who just respond by, you know, zipping and unzipping their fly as fast as they can. And, you know, it's just, it's insane. We live in crazy land. We really do. So enjoy it. No offense to people who are truly dealing with mental illness or the mental illness community, people who assist. Is this from, I think this is from Sheila. You have to wonder if this woman has any strategy, referring to Palin, other than to keep dumping on us. She was in such a frenzy today in her babbling, incoherent diatribe that you could almost see the criminal investigators nipping at her heels. Also, a couple of months ago, Chris Cillizza had a virtually unnoticed piece in the Washington Post that her political action committee had quit. And on the same day, Palin formed the Alaska Fund Trust, an official legal fund designed to, quote, defend the integrity of the Alaska governor's office from an onslaught of political attacks launched against current Governor Sarah Palin, end quote. As I watched her grin and gasp with geese honking in the background, Sheila writes, announcing wildly that not only was she not going to run for a second term as governor, but she was getting out of the first term while the getting was good, I would not have been surprised to see her mount up and ride off into the sunset, shrieking, "Hi-ho, paint! Let's get where we ain't!" Oh, God. And this is from Shannon Moore at Huffington, who writes, after Sarah Palin's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week, she has announced she will be stepping down in a few weeks. In a press conference called this morning, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin has announced she will not run for re-election and is stepping down as governor. She had a brief statement. She took no questions. Her commissioners and lieutenant governor were with her at her home. Palin did not relinquish the reins of the state to the lieutenant governor while running for vice president. No, she didn't. Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell will step in as governor at the end of the month. He was defeated by Congressman Don Young in the Republican primary last year. Rumors of an iceberg scandal have been circulating. What the hell is an iceberg scandal? Resignation is certainly out of character for Palin. Senator Mark Begich had a meeting with Sarah Palin 2 days ago with no mention of her leaving office. Palin's press secretary, David Murrell, had posted on his Facebook page Wednesday, quote, "David Murrow is considering life's ironies," end quote. He was hired less than a month ago. Yesterday he wrote, quote, "There's going to be some fireworks this weekend," end quote. Isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? What do you think of Palin's press secretary, David Murrow? "There's going to be some fireworks this weekend. Woohoo!" Palin's father, Chuck Heath, told Fox News that he thought her resignation was due to the negativity from the media. Oh, really? Oh, poor baby! What media? Letterman? The Daily Show? Oh, my God. According to her father, the governor was unable to be effective while she was constantly having to defend herself against ethics complaints and the media. Oh, I see. The media is being tacked on. Yeah, it's a right-wing trick. Divert. You know, don't look here while I'm picking your pocket or you know, snatching your bank account. Look over there. Look at the media. Look at those rat bastards, right? Ah, look at them. Sure, put the linkage together. She was having a hard time defending herself against ethics complaints and the media. Oh, God. I'm starting to get emails now from people who are saying, you know, you're doing as bad reporting on Sarah Palin as mainstream media is reporting on Michael Jackson. Okay. I'm sorry, but I'm just so sick of Republicans. I like to see every one of them just crawl into a hole where they all belong. Live underground. Go, Republicans. Get out of here. But you know what's going to happen in 2012? You're going to have a Limbaugh Beck ticket. And I don't mean the musician, huh? Now, a couple. This was last week. Campaign Solutions, a Republican consulting firm advising Sarah Palin's Political Action Committee, has parted ways with the former Republican vice presidential nominee. Blah, 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 blah. This is what Chris Zelizza was referring to. I can't wait
to see what it's going to be. Federal indictments, state indictments, I don't know. And then the result, the resulting screaming and frothing at the, of the mouth by the right wing crazy machine in this country is going to it's going to be interesting to watch, right? So, have a great weekend when it rolls around here. We only have about 2 hours left here in the East, and it will be Saturday. Oh, thank you. But have a great weekend with the fireworks. And then next week, we'll see some real fireworks, right? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. And when we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour, we will attempt to give away another podcast, free podcast podcast subscription to the Malloy program. Jeanette is calling from St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on KTNF. Hey, Jeanette.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very to partly cloudy.
Very, very happy belated birthday wishes to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I love you.
You what?
Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I wanted to comment about Palin.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that's a great birthday gift for... I couldn't be happier myself.
Listen, I gotta put you on hold. There's something wrong with the phone, Jeanette, with your phone, I think. We're getting just terrible feedback. So maybe what you can do is try to call back in, Jeanette, because it's just screwing everything up here. And I think it's your phone. I'm pretty sure it's your phone. John is calling from Sacramento, listening online. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. What's up?
Sarah Palin.
Oh, no. Can I change subjects? To
yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Did you see him on the news today?
I did not.
What a hypocrite.
Yeah, what happened?
He's saying, well, you know, they can't pass a budget out here, right?
Right.
So he's saying that that we need to put the people's needs in front of the legislators' need in front of the special interest needs.
And
isn't that a joke?
Who would the special interest be in Schwarzenegger's mind?
I have no idea, but that's a quote from today.
Yeah, probably students, people on some sort of public assistance, children who are hungry. Those are special interests when every Republican opens his damn mouth, including Schwarzenegger.
So. Hey, can we go back to 2001?
And do what?
And check out. I'm. You know, people have been struggling to understand how the crisis in California happened.
Uh-huh.
I got the answer.
Okay, what is it?
Back in 2001, the surplus was around $20 billion in California.
Yeah.
This is when Davis was dealing with the fake, supposedly, energy crisis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember, in the spring of 2001, there was a meeting down in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
with the big honchos, the big energy companies and Schwarzenegger, and they were deciding the future of California.
I didn't know that Schwarzenegger was involved, but I'm familiar with or I think I am anyway. Time has a way of warping things out, but I think I'm familiar with the meeting you're talking
Anyhow,
about.
Anyhow,
yeah,
they were deciding how to game the taxpayers
right.
through, you know, gouging them
right.
Through the skyrocketing energy prices.
Yeah.
To the point where they were buying a kilowatt hour that normally went for about $35.
Uh-huh.
For $1,400.
Well, I'll tell you, the whole recall, the Gray Davis thing, was based on fraud. And I think the entire company realizes that now. To the extent that the Republicans have decided to destroy California, they're damn well succeeding. They really are. I don't know how else to put it. Regarding the Palin iceberg scandal, and I said, you know, what's an iceberg scandal? WM writes in, just a guess, 7/8 below the surface. That could be. And Michael in Roswell writes, I suspect an Alaskan iceberg scandal would be something that only 1/8 of it is above the surface. So something that currently seems small on the surface, like her having to defend herself against ethics complaints, and very large below the surface, yet to be revealed. I think she's clearing the decks, though, to run against Murkowski, because being in the U.S. Senate has a lot more cred for president running than being the small-town, big-time governor from a state with more nuts per square mile than anywhere else in the United States. Or she's just going to sell out and get her own talk show on Fox for a few million a year and then run for president. Michael, yeah, there's no telling. It's just crazy. But I hope it is. I really do. I hope it is just some incredibly typical Republican scandal. That's what I hope it is. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
podcast trivia for this Friday night. We have our contestants on the line. It's very simple. We will ask a question that requires an answer from four. It's multiple choice, which makes it all the more difficult, doesn't it? And anyone who gets the question right, the first person to get the question right this hour, will receive a free one-year subscription to the Mike Malloy Show podcasts with a value of $59.40, or 25 cents a program. Woohoo! Are you ready? Let's talk with Marie, who is listening in Philadelphia. Hey, no, not Marie, Mark. I'm sorry, Mark. Hi, Mark!
It's okay, you can call me Marie.
Oh, I can call you Marie?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay, no, I'll stick with Mark. All right, how you doing tonight, Mark?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I really admire you, so thank you for everything you do.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. You're clicking on and off like you're talking on a walkie-talkie.
I apologize. I have a bad...
Well, that's okay. No, I found, as a matter of fact, I find it kind of intriguing. Why do you want a free podcast subscription?
Because I have a hectic life of activism, and sometimes I can't listen live.
Yeah.
And it really bums me out, Mike. I miss your ice pick in the thigh rants, and I really want to be able to, if I miss you live, be able to go back and listen.
Well, that's a great reason. I love that. Yeah. All right, hold on. All right, Mark, here we go. I'm going to ask you a question. You'll have four possible answers. Pick the right one, and the podcast subscription is yours. All right?
Great.
All right, complete the following Bush quote.
Do I have to?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Here it is, quote, "The war on terror involves Saddam Hussein because of the nature of Saddam Hussein, the history of Saddam Hussein, and his willingness to, A, enrich uranium, B, mock his neighbors, C, terrorize himself, or D, touch himself."
Whoa. Can you repeat that?
I certainly can. This is Bush. Complete his quote. "The war on terror involves Saddam Hussein because of the nature of Saddam Hussein, the history of Saddam Hussein, and his willingness to, A, enrich uranium, B, mock his neighbors, C, terrorize himself, or D, touch himself."
I'd have to go with C.
C?
Yeah.
Terrorize himself?
Yeah.
That's it! You win, yeah. Mark! All right! Yeah. All right, Mark, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, baby.
When's the last time you won something on the radio?
Never.
This is the best thing
you can win on the radio. Come on.
All right. Now, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold, and Kathy will come on the line and take the pertinent information. All right?
As long as she calls me Marie.
Marie. All right. Thanks, Mark. All right. Now, Chris, who is holding on, and our other player, I guess the other player has dropped off. All right. Come back at the bottom of the hour. If you are calling in to play trivia, and we'll do it again. All right. We still have one more, Malloy podcast gift subscription to give away. And, again, it's courtesy of one of our anonymous donors who contributed 10 podcast subscriptions. So we have a bunch more, that we'll be giving away, next weekend and the following weekend and the following weekend. Because believe it or not, we've had a couple more people who have bought multiple subscriptions to give away also. So this is going to be great. Now, that doesn't mean don't buy one. Go ahead. Because your odds of winning so far tonight, we got 2 out of 7, I think. So you see, the odds are not very good. Huh? You know what I'm saying. There was something from the other night, and let me interrupt the flow of the program, as if there was such a thing, and share this with you. This is from Dwayne in Walnut Creek, California. He writes, "Mike, as a frequent Muslim listener to your show, I'm well aware of your views concerning God and religion. In fact, I respect your choice to be either agnostic or atheist. However, during this evening's program," and this was last night, "you stated," and I paraphrase, that, quote, "Muslims are awaiting the return of Muhammad. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him." Parentheses, this salutation is my addition. Duane writes, just for the record, Muslims are actually awaiting the arrival of an individual called Imam al-Mahdi and the return of Jesus Christ, who Muslims refer to as Sayyidina Isa. Peace and blessings be upon him. Thank you for letting me set the record straight. And a quick look at Wikipedia. According to the Shia and Sunni versions of the Islamic eschatology, the Mahdi is the prophesied redeemer of Islam, who will stay on earth 7, 9, or 19 years, depending on how you interpret this part of the prophecy, before the coming of the day, the day of resurrection or the day of standing, Yaum al-Qiyamah. I'm sorry for my mispronunciations. Muslims believe the Mahdi will rid the world of error, injustice, and tyranny alongside Jesus. The concept of Mahdi is not explicitly mentioned in the Quran nor in the Sunni hadiths such as Sahih al-Bukhari, which only mentions the second coming of Jesus. It is only one of the six books of hadith. Some Orthodox Sunni theologians accordingly question Mahdist beliefs, but such beliefs form a necessary part of Shia doctrine. There's something for the Christian fundamentalists out there to chew on, the fact that Muslim believers, followers of Islam, believe in the participation of Jesus with the Muslim Mahdi. And I thank Duane for the correction, because like most people who do not completely understand, I shouldn't say completely, for most people who do not understand Islam, as I do not, I have not read, although I have an English version of the Holy Quran in our house, right next to the Bible. that's the truth. And I've tried to read the Quran several times, and so much of it reads like poetry. And it's difficult for me to see a book that reads like poetry as religious text. You understand what I'm saying? But I will continue to make efforts to read the Quran. Thanks, Duane, for the correction. Now, another thing that we had mentioned the other night was the a relative of country singer Johnny Cash. His name is Kerry Cash. He's a Navy chaplain who, according to Time magazine, survived some of the heaviest fighting during the initial U.S. invasion of Iraq. Kerry Cash is now head pastor at Camp David's Evergreen Chapel. As reported in a July 13th, 2005, Minneapolis City Paper story titled Onward Christian Soldiers, on the day before Independence Day in 2005, churchgoers at the Minneapolis Eden Prairie Grace Church, a mega church with over 4,000 seats, were treated to a speech by retired Major General Bob Dees, head of Campus Crusade for Christ Military Ministries. Dees told the church audience the following, quote, we are a ministry of the armed forces of the United States and to the armed forces of the world, seeking to win the nations of the world and the militaries of the world. We have several ministries. One is to the enlisted members of all the defense forces of the United States. We touch every recruit that comes through the armed forces of the United States. And then we seek to evangelize and disciple them through their careers, making them ambassadors in uniform. We have missionaries all over the world, and it's very powerful when you see the impact and that you can affect the militaries of those cultures. You can sway the whole culture and the nation toward Jesus Christ. We have heard all about weapons of mass destruction. There's been a search for weapons of mass destruction. I'm here today to testify that we have found the weapons of mass destruction. It is Satan's artillery. Satan is a master of deceit, temptation, pride, isolation, deception, self-sufficiency, anger, and malice of all forms. Satan's weapons of mass destruction, rage, all about us. Blah, 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 blah. After Dees concluded his speech, a videotape presentation from Chaplain Kerry Cash, who is now the head pastor at Camp David. Kerry Cash appeared on the huge megachurch projection screen, and during his talk, Kerry Cash told the crowd, quote, first we get the military, then we get the nation, end quote. This just makes me nervous. You know what I'm saying? Campus Crusade also runs a controversial ministry that targets officers in the Pentagon. It's called Christian Embassy, which was the center of a 2006 and 2007 controversy concerning a promotional video which featured footage taken within the Pentagon of top-ranking officers in uniform praising the work of this group, Christian Embassy. I don't know, man. I'm starting to feel kind of sick with all this religious crap, especially the fundamentalist or evangelical Christian stuff, where they take their guns to church. They want to kill Muslims and people who aren't Christians. Oh man. Before the hour, introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA-estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. Is it about 9 before the hour? KC, is it KC? KCM? Sent me an email. The subject line, Palin listed this wonderful accomplishment today. Mike, you'll love this. Palin said today that, quote, another accomplishment, our law department protected states' rights. Two huge U.S. Supreme Court reversals came down against that liberal Ninth Circuit, deciding in our state's favor over the last 2 weeks. We're protectors of our Constitution. Federalists protect states' rights as mandated in the 10th Amendment, end quote. One of these wonderful cases, Casey writes, Arthur Hellman, a University of Pittsburgh law professor who closely tracks the federal judiciary, sees the justices weighing in more with the Ninth Circuit in an attempt to balance what they see as its tendency to rule for the poor and the powerless. The Ninth Circuit does that, and the Supreme Court says no. The case that Palin, one of the cases Palin was talking about, an Alaska case in which a convicted rapist was denied the right to test the DNA from crime samples against his own at his own expense. He claims he is innocent. There is DNA to test. And the Supreme Court said no. So this is what Sarah Palin is celebrating. I don't know. She is the type that the flying monkey right in this country, the real crazy sons of bitches on the political right, the Glenn Beck types, the Limbaugh types, the Hannity types, you know, real wealthy, extreme neo-Nazis would love to see Sarah Palin, this empty-headed woman, become a viable nominee to be president of the United States. There are enough crazy people in this country who vote, who could possibly put her into office in this masturbatory fantasy world that these right-wing males maintain about her. And that's exactly what it is, a masturbatory fantasy world. Come on, get real. I got an email from somebody tonight that said, well, if she steps down as governor, maybe she can get a job working in the porn industry. Now, is that a slam against women? No. Hell no, it's not a slam against women. It's a statement about Sarah Palin. And I don't think there is a right-winger a male in this country who hasn't had that thought. You know it as well as I do, so let's not even get jiggity-jiggity with me about, oh, Malloy, that's a sexist statement from your emailer. I don't think it is. I think it's a very dead-on statement. But I'm not saying Palin should be involved in porn. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the fantasies of so many of these right-wing Republican males is exactly that. Are you kidding me? Are you don't even challenge that idea in your mind. You know it's true. You know damn good and well it's true. So the victory that Palin figures she got for her law department for the state of Alaska was denying somebody who's been convicted the right to take a look at the evidence. You got to wonder why his attorney didn't. All right, just got an email from Brad Friedman. Since you're on the air, here's a repost of the latest update for you. Lots of background, others including the Daily Beast now picking this up. And this is what Brad has at his website. Or is this at Daily Kos? Or is this at the Village Voice? The 12.5 million sports complex in hockey. Oh, this is what Brad's already talking about. Is a lasting monument to Palin's two terms as Wasilla mayor. Is also a monument to the kind of insider politics that dismays Americans of both parties. 6 months before Palin stepped down as mayor, the city awarded nearly $500,000 contract to design the biggest project in Wasilla history to this architectural firm. The architect is frequently described as a mentor of Palin and was head of a local Republican Party. Asked if the contract was a favor, the owner of the company who contributed to her campaign in the same time frame that his son got the contract said, I really don't know. Anyway, it goes on. There's also Max Blumenthal at the Daily Beast who asked, did a scandal sink the USS Palin? Max Blumenthal writes, one logical place to start looking is the affair that has Alaska political circles buzzing. An alleged scandal centered around a building contractor, Spinard Building Supplies, with close ties to Palin and her husband, Todd. Many political observers in Alaska are fixated on rumors that federal investigators have been seizing paperwork from Spinard Building Supplies in recent months, searching for evidence that Palin and her husband, Todd, steered lucrative contracts to the well-connected company in exchange for gifts, like the construction of their home on pristine Lake Lucille in 2002. Blumenthal goes on to report that, quote, prior to her sudden announcement, Palin gave every indication that she intended to complete her tenure as governor, end quote, before detailing her recent activity, suggesting exactly that. Anderson Cooper on CNN just had Palin's top spokesperson on by phone. She was in New York tonight while Palin was resigning in Alaska. We report, you decide. All right, thanks, Brad. Go to bradblog.com. You'll get Brad's take on this and all the links from Daily Kos and Daily Beast and Daily Diarrhea and Daily Whatever. Huh? Isn't this fun? Happy 4th of July. And remember, tomorrow when you're, kicking yourself saying, Jesus, I can't stand it sitting here watching the fireworks, knowing what I know about my, my government, my country, just remember what the fireworks are about. Remember what the 4th of July is about. Revolution. Remember, that's what the celebration is all about. Revolution. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Truth Seekers, this is Mike Malloy. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Mike Malloy Show, so please don't call in. We'll return live before you can say, Bush crime family. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Elaine writes in, why does Sarah appeal to the blatantly uneducated conservanuts that think the Bible is the only scientific, literary, and historical knowledge anyone needs to know? I don't know, Elaine. I really don't. Every night when this program is over, if you're listening online, if you stick around, you will hear Bob replay of that night's Bob Kincaid program on Horn, the Head on Radio Network, which is a collection of international freedom fighters who operate out of Australia and West Virginia. And Bob Kincaid hosts this program. I believe he's on from 6 to 9 Eastern Time or 7 to 9 Eastern Time. I don't know if it's a 2 or 3 hour show because I don't get to hear it. But unless I do what I'm about to suggest to you, at the end of this program every night, my program, if you stick around, if you're listening online, our technical advisor in Illinois, we're all over the place, aren't we? Ben Birch will immediately plug you into a replay of Bob Kincaid's program for that evening. So tonight and any night. Now, I also understand that starting soon on the weekends, he's going to do the same for me. Is that right? On the internet? Okay. So it's a reciprocal thing here. This gives you lots of options if you have a hard time hearing either his program or mine. Stick around at the end of this show tonight. And for people in the central and western time zones, that's no big deal. If you were a talk radio junkie, I realize it's midnight in the east when we get off the air. But so what, right? When you hear Kincaid's program, you're going to be shocked. Shocked, I tell you. So stick around for it. I just got an email from him. Here's what Bob Kincaid writes under the subject line, Happy Fourth. Mike, hope you and yours have a great Independence Day weekend. Here on the mountain, he's in West Virginia, I've got a pair of pork shoulders smoking while I make barbecue sauce and hot slaw with the show playing on the laptop in the kitchen. We are heading to Caford Mountain tomorrow for the annual Mountain Keepers Music Festival. An organization called the Friends of Coal, who Bob is very familiar with, have declared their intention to attack us so-called out-of-state hippies. Lately, the Friends of Coal have been ramping up their hatred and their violence. They showed up at a rally a couple of weeks back with signs saying, save a miner, hang a tree hugger, and have been declaring on message boards that they, quote, hope a bullet finds him, Obama, end quote. One went so far as to punch the Goldman Environmental Prize winner, Judy Bonds, in the head as she stood in peaceful, nonviolent protest. The Raleigh County, West Virginia Sheriff's Department has declined to provide protection for the event tomorrow. Like Godzilla from Wasilla's soon-to-be Express Flack said, quote, there's going to be some fireworks this weekend, end quote. I don't have the jawbone of an ass with which to lay about me, but I'll darn sure wear somebody out with a pulled pork shoulder bone. Bob. Damn. Really? I never heard of a group called Friends of Coal. Friends of Coal. I save a miner, hang a tree hugger. The best way to save a miner would be to insist that that the National Labor Relations Board and the government agency, Kathy, that OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and a few other organizations would make sure that the mine companies protected the people that they send a mile or two underground to carve out the rocks that are used to, you know, to heat hell and bring them to the surface. killing a tree hugger is not a tree hugger. Someone that doesn't want the tops of mountains in West Virginia blown off so these sons of bitches in the coal industry can reach in and just take what they want. I don't get this. Friends of coal, you talk about outside agitators. How could people who live in West Virginia, this is just an example, I mean, you know, the book What's the Matter of Kansas focused on Kansas, but how can people who live in West Virginia, who live in some of these hollows and the sides of mountains and the valleys near the streams, how can they just celebrate mining companies that are committing environmental destruction without parallel in this country? I shouldn't say that, because corporations, I mean, look what happened up here in Minnesota with the asbestos mining. But here they are again. You know, this is why you hear on this program, if you're a regular listener, constant rants against these corporate predator pig sons of bitches. I've got nothing against a profit motive if people want to go that way. But for heaven's sake, does it have to be at the expense of the health and safety and welfare of people in this country? Apparently the answer to that is a resounding yes. And there are people in this country in government positions that put corporations so far ahead of citizens, so far ahead of children, men, women, old, young, as to render the concept of corporate responsibility meaningless, more meaningless than it is now. You get these corporations that sponsor they send in a general manager to open up a mining company in some hollow in West Virginia, and they sponsor a local high school baseball team, and that's supposed to be their redemption while they go ahead and pollute the streams, destroy the atmosphere, make people sick. Ah, damn. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm going to try not to get on a bummer tonight or a downer because of this glorious news of Sarah Palin. But anyway, let's pay attention to Bob Kincaid Monday, because he's going to the Mountain Keepers Music Festival on Saturday. You know, a lot of people listening to this program don't know who in the hell I'm talking about. Well, you can find out very simply. Just log on to whiterosesociety.org or mikemalloy.com, and when this program's over, and tune in. I'll guarantee you'll like his program. And one other thing, Kurt had asked me to mention this again. There is a Ron Kovic and George Galloway, you should know both those names, are leading a convoy of relief to Gaza. They're buying an ambulance. They're taking medicine. They're going to Gaza, leaving JFK in New York tomorrow. They'll be buying what they need in Cairo with the money raised at their website. It is vivapalestina-us.org. I mentioned this last night. Viva Palestina, or Palestina, Palestina, vivapalestina-us.org. And as Kurt wrote the other night, Mike, we can't do squat about the boat that's being held by the Israelis right now, but we can use our outrage to make the Galloway-Kovic mission as big a success as possible. Please consider mentioning this on the air. Those who donate can claim pride for their home state, and can even ask to have their name painted onto the ambulances. Or they can do so anonymously. And for the rightly paranoid among us, the money is being handled by an organization called Pastors for Peace. So there's no need to donate to something called maybe the Committee for the Destruction of the State of Israel, as the intelligence agencies view any Muslim charity these days. So if you want to do that, Viva Palestina, or Palestina-us.org. Ron Kovic is the man who the book and the movie Born on the 4th of July is all about. Many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me. Hey now, don't dream.
faces of the steeple and all the pretty people they are.
Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway and up to 600 highway miles on the tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox based on GM. Compact crossover segment excludes other GM vehicles. Sad as a lonely little 21 past the hour. Tom in Joshua Tree, California, since I was talking about West Virginia, wrote in, reclaim the origins of the word redneck. He writes, the origins of the term redneck actually go back to the 1930s in a number of disputes in West Virginia. A large number of unionized miners marched south to Logan County to pressure the mine owners there to allow their miners to become unionized. To identify themselves, the miners all wore red bandanas around their necks. The publicity associated with the battles and the subsequent court cases created the term rednecks. And at that time, they were viewed as the good guys in the conflict. Tom in California. And Brian is calling from Toledo. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Great to speak to you tonight. First of all, out of respect, of course, I'd like to say to Ms. Palin, don't let the door hit you where evolution split you. But I think she should run for political office in 2012 because this will save the Democrats millions of dollars of campaign funds.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I said, what did you hear?
You started to talk about Palin. I don't know, something's wrong with your phone, I think. Go ahead, try it again.
I said Ms. Palin should run in 2012 because this will save the Democrats millions of dollars in campaign funds.
I agree. Absolutely. She, I can't think of a more clownish figure than Ms. Palin running for anything. I don't understand how she was became the mayor of Wasilla. I don't give a damn how small the town is, and the state of Alaska. I don't care how few in number the population of Alaska is. This woman has no more business being elected to anything. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she's a great leader. But hearing her, the only chance I've had to hear her is when she was the Republican vice presidential nominee with John McCain. And it was just incredibly, outrageously ridiculous. And then to see the immediate embrace of her because she spouts some of this neo-fascist rhetoric, the complete embrace of her by the real crazies in this country that own media, that dominate media. And you know I'm talking about O'Reilly and Limbaugh and the rest of these pigs, you know, as if she was making any sense, as if she had a point of view that was valid, reasonable, rational. You know, this whole family, they want to secede from the Union. They want Alaska to secede from the Union. They're all about violence and killing and shooting and slaughtering and ending and destroying. Christ, every time I hear the word Republican, my nostrils fill up with this stench of death and decay. I am so sick of them. I'm so sick of it. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate you checking in. I got a boogie here. Jeff is calling from from New Mexico. Hey, Jeff.
Moriarty.
Like
The arch nemesis of
Like on the road?
Yeah.
Moriarty? Okay. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the reason that I think Palin should run is because Who else do they have that can really control like they used to control Bush? I mean, you have to remember she's
well,
never.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the horrible part is that this completely chumped out, whored out media in this country would look at a Palin candidacy the way they did the last time, as if it was something new and different and exciting. You know, so is rat poison, you know, if you put it on your Cheerios in the morning. So I don't know.
Yeah, when you talk about rat poison, remember, if they, you know, build a better mousetrap, you're going to rule the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
All right, Jeff, thanks, man. We're just about ready to come up on a break here. We will, after this break, when we come back from this break, we're going to do the third and final podcast giveaway for tonight. So if you would like to participate, once we get into the commercial set here, Kathy will jigger the lines a little bit, and you can call in if you want to make another stab at getting a free, count them, free subscription to Mike Malloy Radio Program podcasts, downloads, whatever it's called. And also that will give you access to the Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag segment on my website, some of which are really funny. We sent Ben one today. I don't know if he got it yet and put it up, but it'll be up over the weekend. Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag, the new version. I got a real freaky one this time. Not a whole lot of F words in it, but it's freaky nonetheless. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I was the governor. All your folks down in Washington, D.C. I wish you'd just leave me alone. He's messing up my home. I was the governor, y'all. Would y'all leave the moment alone?
And it's time once again. Oh, my God. For Mike Malloy, radio program podcast trivia. Wherein, if you answer the question correctly, you get a free one-year subscription to the Malloy Downloads, the podcast, and also Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag, and anything else we can throw up there on the website to give away for free, but only for people who get the podcast. Aren't we evil? The podcast normally costs $59.40 a year. That works out to 25 cents a program. So for the right-wingers to say this is a two-bit show, you're goddamn right it is, and we're very happy about that. So if you want to subscribe, please do. We have a handful of free subscriptions that were paid for by an anonymous donor. Well, at this point, a couple of donors now. So we'll be giving these away on Fridays. And we invite you to take a shot at it. Oh, my goodness. Renee Louise made it back in.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to try again.
Yeah, let's take another whack.
All right. Listening in Los Angeles. All right. Let's try it. Where's my sheet? Here it is.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Can I just say one thing really quick?
Sure.
I'd like to thank all the people who have donated these. I just can't say thank you enough to them. Somebody like me who can't afford to.
Yeah. I'm sorry for the phone screw-ups here. We got a problem on our board, apparently. There, that's better.
Okay.
All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. All right. Here's your question. You'll have four possible answers. Ready?
Yeah.
What was George Bush's nickname for Karl Rove? Was it A, the Big Kahuna, B, my better half, C, me, only smarter, or D, turd blossom?
I know this one. It's turd blossom.
Turd blossom! Oh, my God! You got it! Yes! Yes! Where's our You Got It music? There it is!
Thank you.
All right. That's it exactly. All right. Hold on, Renee Louise.
Okay, and thank you to the donors. Thank you to you and Kathy. Thank you to the people who've donated. That really, that comes from my heart.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
That's very kind of you. All right, Renee Louise, I'll put you on hold, and Kathy will get the information from you, so don't go away. Now, if you're on hold waiting to play trivia, you'll have to wait till next Friday, okay?
We have our three winners for tonight, and bless all their hearts. It is about 37 past the hour. We have a missive here tonight from Prairie 2 that I want to share with you, our economic correspondent. Prairie 2 writes, thinking of staying home for the holidays? We are experiencing the longest, steepest decline in driving by Americans since the invention of the automobile. The drop in mileage driven is equal to taking 10 million drivers off the road. If you are on the road, good luck finding an open rest area. States are cutting budgets, and since they aren't mowing the roadsides, there are plenty of bushes if the kids can't wait for the next truck stop. Don't wander too far into the bushes, though, or you may find your missing neighbors. The small, remote patches of public land next to the interstate are popular camping areas for the formerly middle class. Planning a backyard cookout instead of traveling on this 4th of July? The sales of steaks are down and hot dogs up, even among those that are so far unaffected by the collapse. The media paints this reaction as guilt, but it's something more. Americans for the past 30 years haven't been shy about eating at posh restaurants while the homeless sat at the curb. But when the homeless are people who recently lived next door to you and they did nothing different from you, the hot dogs have a taste of fear. GM and Chrysler are celebrating Independence Day by closing plants and shifting their production to Mexico. Auto workers in Mexico can't hope to buy the vehicles they build and will find it harder to buy the used cars from the U.S. that were a big part of the Mexican economy. The simple fact is, people in the U.S. can no longer afford to give up their used cars as new cars are out of reach for them as well. The scrappage rate of cars in the U.S. far exceeds the sales of new cars for the first time ever. Normally, the sales of new cars are 40% higher than the scrappage rate, as a large number are exported while still usable. Now, those cars are driven to death. If you're lucky, your car will start when you are evicted from your homeless encampment. Prairie 2. Jesus Christ, let's all go kill ourselves now. No, I get it. I get it, Bruce. If you want to get more from Prairie 2, go to his website, prairie2.com. Prairie2.com. P.S. Is Palin starting her presidential bid early or just dodging an indictment? Maybe both. Regarding the Friends of Coal in West Virginia, Irish Dave writes in, Mike, are card-carrying, dues-paying members of FOC, Friends of Coal, known as Fockers? Possibly, Dave. And he adds, Pastors for Peace, the organization that is collecting the money for George Galloway and Ron Kovic's trip to Gaza. Pastors for Peace has a long history, Irish Dave writes, of people-to-people blockade running to Cuba. School supplies mostly. The Treasury Department hates them, of course. Celebrate the revolution, Irish Dave. Fockers. Probably. Now, I like this. this is a very quick little story here from from Prairie 2. I think he sent this to me some time ago, but it bears repeating because it mentions Sarah Palin. A Russian major takes a drink from a bottle of vodka and passes it to his lieutenant. Drinking on missile patrol is forbidden, but the major has just become a father, and this bottle is a gift from his men. He will share it with them while they watch the unusually vivid northern lights. The Russian soldiers are camped temporarily in a clearing in the forest, 40 miles from their base, where they are waiting for dawn before moving again. They've been on alert patrol with their mobile missile launcher for weeks and are looking forward to leave with their families. The evening darkness is suddenly replaced by a flash of light and a deep rumbling follows. The major grabs his secure phone, but it depends on a relay station next to a large chemical plant that has just exploded. The plant was between the Russian soldiers and their base, but they don't realize this.
The Russian missile commander tries his long-range radio, but the solar flares have knocked it out. He tries his new satellite phone, but he has forgotten that the satellite is below the horizon for another 2 minutes. He hesitates, but thinks about his family back at the base and gives the order. An aging diesel engine struggles to life. Hydraulic motors whine. Huge steel jacks press into the ground, and the missile cradle lifts skyward. The major and his lieutenant turn their keys. An alarm sounds, and they turn and run for cover. On the other side of the world, some third graders are reading to the American president while the bored press takes pictures. The chief of staff bursts in and whispers in the president's ear. NORAD is tracking a single Russian missile headed for the ABM site in Alaska. The Russians are on the red phone. Should he patch them through? Some of the children have noticed the fear on the faces of the adults, but the president smiles and indicates no to the call. The children are reassured and go back to reading. President Palin is smiling because God has just spoken to her. Really? I mean, you know, that's from Bruce. Bruce Enberg, Prairie 2. Well, I certainly could have gone the weekend without that, but I like short stories that can be told in 250 words. I really do. Those are my favorite kind. President Palin, God has spoken to her. Just remember that President Palin had an African exorcist lay hands on her and to protect her, not to drive out demons, I don't think, but to protect her from any demons that might be lurking in the church where they were holding this psychotic, superstitious, mind-blowing, cave person kind of ceremony. Og, cast out spirit! Out, spirit! Og! Jesus, God. President of the United States, huh? Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. All right, we have a break coming up here, don't we? Yes, we do. So we shall take the break. Go ahead and you start the music early. We shall take the break and come back and finish up with some phone calls, if you'd like to. The number here is 877-996-2556. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm washed in the blood. I'm all washed.
10 before the hour, thanks to the crew all week long. They just bust their butts to get this program on. Ben Burch, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Bruce Enberg, and of course, Catherine Bay. It is about 9 before the hour. I got this email Tuesday. It's from Sinner. He says, "Hey Mike, oh, I'm so happy to hear all of us U.S. patriots nationwide can now listen to the Mike Malloy Show on Green 960 on the AM radio, thanks to its producers here in San Francisco, live. I heard you mention this on last night's show, so would you do me a big favor by passing along my sincerest thank you to the Green 960 AM radio producers about your show going live? Thanks. And, oh, I'm keeping it lit in your show's honor. Signed, Sinner. P.S. God bless America and everybody else except for those goddamn Republicans." Okay, Sinner. Speaking of Green 960, Marie is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Marie.
Hey, same here. I'm so glad to have the last hour of your show live. And
then they rebroadcast the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I listened to that too. But then it's just today you're the only one live, really, that's taking call in. And you're the only one also that has mentioned that boat that has been taken, and I can't find it anywhere else. And so that's big news in the first place, but that it's not covered or there's no political reaction from anybody.
Well, there is no political reaction from this administration, which is really bad. Coverage has gotten a little bit of coverage. We've been talking about it for most of the week, but the Atlanta newspaper has been in local television. One of the ABC affiliate here has been talking about it because Cynthia McKinney is from this area. And, of course, the attitude they take about Cynthia McKinney's involvement is a real snotty kind of sarcastic attitude because, you know, people are not supposed to acknowledge anything about the Palestinians unless you also use the word terrorist.
Well, yeah, well, I grew up in Europe, as you might hear, and I've been in the United States for 25 years. And so anytime I dare mentioning anything about it, like, and I'm nobody, you know, but it's like people are like, well, you know, French people are anti-Semite. And I'm like, well, no.
Right.
I didn't realize what, you know, some people do tell way after I lived in New York City for a few years.
Yeah. Well, I get that a lot. The people try to put the label anti-Semite on me. And if anyone ever does that to my face, I just smack them. Literally, you know, I'm just at that point because I am no more of an anti-Semite than I'm the Pope. But I also believe that when you invade and occupy a country, as the Israelis have done, as the United States has done, as the Russians have done, as the Chinese have done, when you invade and occupy somebody else's country, okay, there are some rules now that you have to follow as the occupier. The Chinese have not, the United States has not, the Russians have not, and the Israelis have not. In each of those separate instances, and there are many more, of course, God knows, the occupier has been setting the rules as they see fit. And the situation in the occupied territories in Israel is as bad as any place on earth. But as you know for now from living in the United States, this is a topic that is, to use a German term, verboten.
Yes.
You're not supposed to.
Big time. And it's just like, you know, I grew up in a part of France where it was occupied during the last war, by the way, that was a declared war.
Right.
None of those other American involvement have been declared war.
That's right.
So that's the other thing. And I'm just, right now I'm just getting very frustrated also with the political tension.